The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And we'd like to welcome you to another edition of Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, out on the web at linewsradio.com. I'm your host, Bob Vecchio. Spotlight on Long Island Schools is brought to you in part by the Nassau-Suffolk School Board Association, serving Long Island school boards since 1959. We'd like to welcome back to the spotlight our friends from Eastern Suffolk BOCES. They've been here a few times, and they always have a lot of good things going on. But we're going to talk about a very important topic, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And we're going to talk about it from a different perspective, not necessarily the teaching in the classroom, but we're going to talk about how to recruit for the workforce, retain for the workforce, and some of the challenges and issues that this organization has taken on to bring greater diversity to their workforce for the students and the communities that they serve. So first, we'll start off with Dr. Julie Lutz, the Chief Operating Officer at Eastern Suffolk BOCES. Dr. Lutz, welcome back to Spotlight on Long Island Schools. And listen, we're into almost year two of this transformation and pandemic. How are things, before we get into tonight's conversation, how have things been happening and going this year compared to last?
Oof. A tough question, Bob. So you know what? Other than the fact, I think we all wish that we weren't still having this conversation. You know, biggest challenge still, I think, changing guidance, which is changing too rapidly and hard to keep up with. But, you know, we've learned to push through, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah. And the educational establishment has done an amazing job of pivoting on the dime when we first went through the shutdown. And once again, just recently had a pivot with the surge in cases. And like you said, the change in guidance, 10 days to 5 days, who quarantines for how long? How do you manage the staff? How do you message that out? Test to stay. There's been a lot of changes in information and misinformation and how you communicate and message that correctly to all the constituent groups and stakeholders. It has been nothing short of miraculous on how the educational establishment has done that. And it's, listen, I believe we're closer to the end of this than we are to the start of it. The light at the end of the tunnel is not an oncoming train. It's truly the light at the end of the tunnel, as I like to say. So DEI, Dr. Lutz, you know, we hear a lot about this. Unfortunately, in the wrong context and the wrong tone, it gets muddled up with this divisive national narrative of CRT. But DEI is a critically important initiative that the state hasn't mandated, but has asked for people to participate and suggest in. But from the head of an organization as large as the Eastern Suffolk BOCES, talk to us about your journey with DEI, and more importantly, why it started long before this national argument has really muddied the waters.
Yeah. So honestly, Bob, truth be told, we started this walk years ago, probably 12, 13, maybe 14 years ago. You know, really through some missteps, right? We had a board at that point that was, you know, really thought it was important that we, you know, hired some folks that brought diversity to our workforce. So we did that, right? We worked on a hiring practice and we started hiring folks that brought diversity. The problem was we hadn't done anything to change our culture. We hadn't done anything to put supports in place to make people feel included or to, you know, remove barriers. And that initiative wasn't successful. We onboarded folks and then they left. You know, I mean, luckily we have a board that is very supportive of this work. And actually I'm going to say are the drivers of this work. So after a number of years of difficult conversations and the board really kind of calling me to task, we ended up going with some board members in 2018, actually up to a statewide summit on diversity and inclusion. There was no E at that point. And at the end of that summit, they required the district teams to sit down for an hour and a half and put a plan in place. And we did. We sat, we talked about a plan, we put a plan in place. We had a long drive back from Ithaca with all of us in the car, kind of talking about that plan, which was primarily a board plan, right? It was about the board, you know, forming their own, you know, diversity committee. It was about them doing their own learning. but it really didn't address what do we do with our 2,400 employees, right? And our 100 or so leaders. And so Dave and I, you know, at the end of the summer at our typical leadership meeting, we did this, like, we're going to roll out our new DEI initiative, right? And honestly, it was like crickets. We rolled it out and people were like, why do we have to do this work? Like, I don't understand. Like, we're kind people, right? We do good work. We're a good agency. And that was really eye-opening for me. So, you know, we kind of jumped right over the leadership and we put out an all call to anybody in the organization that wanted to join us to do that, to do this work, put together a DEI task force that worked for a year, building a work plan of what needed to be done, not only in Eastern Suffolk BOCES, but really how do we support the region with this work? And it is that work plan that really kind of moved us from an academic conversation to an authentic conversation that was the beginning of this work. And that work plan is now embedded into our agency strategic plan and drives still to this day the work that we do.
So from a very layman's perspective of somebody not in the educational establishment, what do you do differently today when trying to recruit and retain staff that you don't have to be bad to be better, right? That being the mindset, but what do you do differently today that you weren't doing a few years back?
So advertising in different places, right? To make sure that the pool reflects the diversity of the communities we serve, making sure that our hiring committees understand the implicit bias that they may be bringing to the table. So we have an implicit bias training video that all of our committees watch before the process, making sure questions are assessing, you know, to make sure that we're getting folks that understand DEI work or have a heart for DEI work, making sure there are no barriers in place and that we're not excluding folks from the process for reasons, you know, whether it be our bias or because they can't, you know, there are barriers in place that maybe we weren't aware of before. So it's, you know, it's about affording, you know, lifting up folks that maybe we wouldn't have thought about before, removing barriers from folks that maybe couldn't access. I will say probably one of the most concrete things is we put a very bold statement on every single one of our vacancy notices that I've had people say, you know what, I applied for a position in this agency because of that statement. And it says something along the lines of, the research says that women and people of color are less likely to apply for positions that they don't think that they have all of the qualifications for. Eastern Suffolk BOCES strives to be an inclusive organization. And if you think that this is a job that you can do, we encourage you to apply for the position. You know, something along those lines. It's a pretty bold statement. It took a lot of explanation, you know, for folks who, you know, work here, who thought it meant that they shouldn't work here. But, you know, it's things like that and changing our reputation in the region to be a place that folks are willing to give a try to because they know that the work is happening.
So what are some of the initial outcomes you could turn to and say, we are moving in the direction that we want? What are some of the data points showing you at this point, Dr. Law?
Well, certainly changes in the diversity in our workforce. A lot of that is showing up in leadership. A lot of that is showing up in entry-level positions. We have some other positions, civil service positions, where the hiring is a little bit different. You know, some of our middle positions are, you know, a tech teacher positions, a little bit of a challenge. So we're trying to figure out, you know, where there are systems in place that drive hiring in a way that, you know, there are other rules and regulations. How do we work around that? I will say probably one of the biggest indicators is when our board gave us permission, actually not even permission, gave us a directive to hire a director of diversity, equity, and inclusivity. Which was April Francis Taylor, who onboarded right in the midst of a pandemic, and really helps us see everything through that lens and, you know, helps guide us in really every aspect of the work plan and the strategic plan and the equity work that we're doing.
In the last minute that we have here, what has been the biggest personal satisfying thing that you see that you didn't anticipate originally?
The really vulnerable and honest conversations that staff members are willing to have with each other that never would have happened 3 or 4 years ago.
That would be something like, they say, that difficult conversation that you might have around the table during Thanksgiving with that uncle that you don't want to have that conversation with. This is an important conversation to have, and we're going to continue about diversity, equity, and inclusivity, and the DEI initiative that's been rolled out at Eastern Suffolk BOCES and how they're tackling it, not just from an academic standpoint, but from hiring and workforce. For the ever-changing demographic situation here on Long Island, it's critically important. It was critically important, and it's even more so now. When we come back from the break, we'll continue our conversation with the folks from Eastern Suffolk BOCES. You're listening to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio. Streaming live on the web at linewsradio.com. Don't forget our Facebook page, Spotlight on Long Island Schools. That's your place to suggest a program, club, or activity that your school's in, and they may be the next one right here in our spotlight. We'd like to welcome you back to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio. Again, out on the web at linewsradio.com. Bob Vecchio. Continuing our conversation with the leadership of the folks at Eastern Suffolk BOCES with a very important initiative, topic, conversation that frankly should have probably been had 10, 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, 30, whatever. I'm not that old, but DEI. And it's, you know, forget the national narrative. This is about workforce, what it looks like, the clients that they serve, the constituents that they serve, recruiting the best, retaining the best, and looking at it from a different lens, that, you know, that uncomfortable conversation of what systems and institutions need to have, because sometimes, like Dr. Lutz was saying in the beginning, there may be some biases that we all have that we're not even aware of with the best of intentions, and things, until you shake it up a little bit, well, change doesn't happen until you turn it upside down and shake it and rattle it and roll. The district superintendent for Eastern Suffolk BOCES is Mr. David Wicks. And David, your role as district superintendent is really, you're kind of the representative of the state education department and the Board of Regents from a statewide perspective to carry out messages and initiatives from Albany down to the local level. And of course, Eastern Suffolk BOCES has a lot of component districts on Eastern Suffolk County, obviously. Your perspective from what the Regents was looking to set as an initiative and a goal, push down to the local level, how did you take that message from Albany and bring it home locally?
Bob, thanks. I appreciate this opportunity. I'm going to back up a little bit to even before we were in the midst of a pandemic. SAD really took the first step here formally when they released their culturally responsive sustaining education framework, which is their, you know, their efforts to support school districts and making sure that all students are supported culturally in the classroom, which leads to better experiences for students and better outcomes. And going back to what you were talking about before, how do we support, you know, better hiring practices? How do we support a more culturally diverse workforce? That has to start in the classroom and has to start with the experiences that students are having. So SED took the initiative on that, quite a bit ago. And our other guest here, April, was a substantial part in the development of that. And then, you know, fast forward to last spring, SED again and the Board of Regents really took their leadership role seriously with DEI when they released their DEI framework and their DEI policy statement. So the framework is meant to be kind of exactly that, a framework for school districts and other organizations to say, you know, this is what your DEI plan needs to address. These are the components, the elements that needs to address. And their policy statement really put out the expectations that they have for all school districts. While not a mandate, it certainly is a strong expectation. And they followed through with that. You know, they certainly could have put those things out there last April and May and just kind of let them sit and see who grabbed onto it and see what kind of momentum it gained on its own. But to their credit, they have both, you know, publicly and in the leadership conversations we have as district superintendents and SED leadership, you know, kept this on the front burner. There have been multiple presentations at the Board of Regents meetings where they've given opportunities for school districts and BOCES to talk about the work that they're doing. And the commissioner and her leadership have turned to us as district superintendents to say, how can we support districts better? How can we let everybody know about the great work that's happening all over the state? And how can we get this work to places where it's not happening, maybe not happening with as much, you know, strength and vigor?
And you're right about the classroom starts in the classroom, because students will be better engaged, or they could see the possibilities if they see a face that's similar to theirs or a cultural background that is aligned with theirs as well. And I was a board president for many years at a very diverse district. And we, long before, I guess, it was talked about up in Albany, we had that aha moment, if you will, where, you know, our staff really needs to reflect some of the student population that we're serving, because it makes for better connections and better relationships. And we know it's the relationships that matter inside the classroom for student success. And I believe that was a big key to our success with increasing our graduation rate the way we did. And, you know, DEI is so critically important. And, you know, from the hiring perspective, it's really important to really look internally and making sure that you're doing all that you can. So the director of DEI at Eastern Suffolk BOCES, April Francis Taylor. April, you came on during the middle of a pandemic, but forget the pandemic. You had a Herculean task to carry out with, you know, helping the leadership at Eastern Suffolk BOCES really bring this to the point where they wanted to be. From your perspective, what was your first impression walking into Eastern Suffolk BOCES, and where has the growth taken place, and where do you see education still needing to go?
Well, thank you, Bob. Yes, I definitely was a transition in a time that we all were going through something nuanced, but I will say that onboarding to Eastern Suffolk BOCES was very inspiring, right? It wasn't just what they had on their website. It wasn't just what they had on their job vacancy notice as regards to DEI. They were living it at that time. And it definitely was work to be done, but it was a breath of fresh air to come back to Long Island, because I was a longtime educator, lived here, grew up on Long Island, and went to Westchester and saw this position and said, wow, Long Island is ready to do this work. And so having a strategic plan already implemented and having the DEI goals already part of what the agency was doing made my task a little bit easier, but it took me time to really grasp the largeness of the agency, right? We have 2,500 employees and we're spread across a large area of Eastern Suffolk, of the county. So how do we ensure that everyone is having these conversations and grounding them on what these terms mean so that we can move forward together as a group was something I had to think about. And at the same time, the nature of a BOCES is servicing our districts, our component districts. So how do we also help our districts who want to do this work and support them as we're trying to do the same at within our own agency? So that was the task that I, you know, really had to think about. And partnering with Julie and Dave, it really allowed me to build my capacity and also balance myself, because I'm so passionate about this work that it can be very consuming. And so really taking a step back and allowing myself to know where the limit was, but also ask for help when needed, and having partners to have these conversations when it gets hard is very important. So that's how it was when I came in. And some of the goals, or I would say the outcomes that we've been seeing, right? The outreach, now I have my own networks as a woman of color in education. There are many affinity groups that support educators of color. So connecting with those affinity groups and letting them know, like, you know, Eastern Suffolk BOCES is really about that work. And it is a place that educators that bring diversity will feel safe and welcome, because that's a big part of education organizations wanting to recruit folks that bring diversity. You have to have a welcoming and affirming environment where someone feels they belong, or they're not going to want to come. It's not going to be a safe space to be able to be your full self. So that's a big part of the work that we've been doing, and helping districts to do the same. doing self-reflection of your own organization, seeing where the inequities are, and then working to create an environment that's more welcoming for all students and for staff, will then allow you to be able to recruit those who are going to bring that diversity.
Yeah, and I almost equate this. I remember going to a poverty simulation workshop, and you know, it's about building the understanding, and I think just as important, the empathy within your organization to understand the diversity and the differences, embrace those differences, because it's through the diversity that I think you could just rise above and become so much more aware and succeed even further. How do you go about engaging families for that level of understanding?
Well, a big part of the work that we embarked on for the agency was creating a DEI parent family advisory council. So we reached out to all of our families in our special education and career technical education programs, and invited them to come on a Zoom and meet with Julie, myself, and our associate superintendent, Claudie Damus McAlealy, and just talk about what, you know, they value about the agency and what are some things that they feel that could improve. So this is a group that meets 5 times a year. It's our second year meeting again, and we've been getting great feedback, learning from this group, and ensuring that in engaging our parents and families in a different way, not just in our PTAs and showing up to events and parent-teacher conferences, but really taking time to listen to them, be inclusive of their voices, and ensuring that we have equitable opportunities for all students.
Listen, it's about customer feedback, right? You know, your customers have got to be bought in just as much as your staff. So to engage the families and family engagement and partnership with education is truly what makes it succeed. I want to thank the folks from Eastern Suffolk BOCES for talking about this topic. We have to have them back because we just started to scratch the surface here. And you've been listening to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, out on the web at linewsradio.com. Check out the Facebook page, Spotlight on Long Island Schools. Suggest a program, club, or activity that your district is involved in. And who knows, your students may be the next one right here in our spotlight. Thanks for tuning in each and every week to learn about our schools.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.